Today is the feast of St. Joachim, the father of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is also the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, and this morning I would like to read to you the epistle and gospel from the Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I received also, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and that after that by the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus, going out to the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him apart from the multitude, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And taking him apart from the multitude, he saith to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately the string of his tongue was loosed. These words are taken from the proper last gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there is a story about a saint who one day had an extraordinary vision of souls entering into paradise. The saint saw himself standing before the gates of heaven and watched as people were admitted, one after another. Our Lord was there to greet each one and to conduct that soul to its throne, which was prepared for it in heaven. As the saint watched this happy scene, he suddenly noticed a character who seemed out of place in the procession. In fact, it was the devil himself who approached the gates where our Lord was standing. The devil watched for a while as soul after soul entered heaven, and the devil grew more and more angry as each person was admitted, until finally he was beside himself with rage. How can you allow these people to go into heaven? Cried the devil to our Lord. Do you not know, he went on, that these people have committed many and grievous sins. They have offended you 1,000 times, and yet you are now ready to reward them with an eternity of happiness. While I, concluded the devil, I sinned but once, and for it I am condemned. Our Lord looked at the devil sternly, and at his glance, the devil became silent. Then our Lord asked quietly but firmly, Have you ever once asked pardon of me? These souls have. At these words, the proud devil was covered with shame, and he was forced to retreat, leaving those happy souls to continue their triumphant entrance into heaven. My dear friends, the deaf and dumb man in the gospel for the Sunday, he is a figure of poor sinners who need to be cured by the power and mercy of our Lord. Our Lord took the man apart from the crowd, as every man entering the confessional goes apart from all others to seek the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And before working this miracle, our Lord groaned aloud, almost as though he himself were in pain. And he did this to help us understand how terrible is the condition of the sinner. But no matter how enmeshed or entangled in sin a person may be, there is no disease of the soul that our Lord cannot heal, with as much ease as he healed the man in the Sunday gospel. The Catechism, my dear faithful, tells us that confession is the telling of our sins to the priest for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness. Our Lord gave the apostles the power to forgive sins when he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." And this tremendous power to forgive sins in the name of God is passed down to the successors of the apostles, that is, the priests and bishops of the church, through the sacrament of holy orders. It was the great mercy of our Lord which moved him to institute the sacrament of penance, by which our sins committed after baptism could be forgiven. God is not obliged to forgive us for having offended him. One mortal sin is enough to deserve an everlasting punishment, and God would not be unjust if he left us to die in our sins. But he knows the weakness of our fallen human nature, and he has such a great desire for us to be happy with him in heaven that he instituted a means by which we could recover his grace and his friendship if we should happen to fall. He is always ready to forgive those who come to him with true contrition and sorrow for their sins. As the vision in the story illustrates, God is waiting to welcome with open arms all who sincerely ask for forgiveness. And at the same time, we can see what a terrible thing it would be to abuse this gift of our Lord. And there are two ways in which the sacrament of penance can be abused. First, of course, by making incomplete or insincere confessions. That is, by trying to cover up or actually omitting a mortal sin in confession. This in itself is a grave sin, and it only adds to our guilt. Sometimes a person might be tempted to omit a mortal sin in confession or to conceal the number of times a sin was committed on account of the shame he feels at having to tell the priest what he did. The Catechism tells us that by doing so, a person tells a lie to the Holy Ghost and makes his confession worthless. Or in the words of St. Augustine, in failing to confess one's sins, a person does not hide himself from God, but rather he hides God from himself. That is, we cannot hide our sins from God, who sees all. But by failing to confess them, we hide ourselves from his mercy and his forgiveness. The devil, in his pride and his obstinacy, has never asked pardon for his crime, nor will he ever do so, since his will is immovably fixed in evil. But if we imitate him in his refusal to seek forgiveness, we will also share in his condemnation. The second way we can abuse the sacrament of penance is by going to confession out of routine and with little preparation. Such confessions may still be valid in the sense that our sins are forgiven, But we lose many graces which could have been ours if we had taken the proper care to examine our conscience more thoroughly and to stir up a more lively contrition for our sins. And so let us resolve to do all in our power to make a proper use of this great gift of God's mercy. If in the past you have made bad confessions, make a good one now. If there is some sin you have been afraid to mention, or even just something that's been bothering your conscience, something you're not sure of, don't hesitate to mention it to Father in the confessional. There is nothing you can say that will shock or offend the priest. For to fall is human, while to ask for forgiveness is a great grace from God. And in order to keep your confessions from becoming routine, call to mind what the Catechism says that we must do to receive this sacrament worthily. We must examine our conscience. That is, we must put aside sufficient time before entering the confessional to examine our conduct since our last worthy confession and make a sincere effort to call to mind any sins we may have committed. Or better yet, set aside time each night to examine yourself over the course of the day. We must also have sorrow for our sins. That is, we must realize the enormity of our crimes and the great pain they have caused our Lord to suffer, who gave every drop of his precious blood to save us and to wash us from these sins. And this is a very important step, for without contrition or sorrow for sin, there can be no forgiveness. Next, we must resolve never more to offend God. That is, here and now, we must be determined to avoid sin and its near occasions in the future. Then we must actually confess our sins to the priest, and in doing so, we must tell him the number and the kind of our sins as closely as possible, and with all humility. And finally, we must accept the penance which the priest gives us. That is, we must accept it wholeheartedly as a means of making up, at least in some small way, for the injury we have done to God. And we must say that penance in a timely manner, not putting it off unnecessarily or rushing through it just to get it over with. If we do these things, as the Catechism says, then we know that we have made a good confession. We have used the sacrament of penance in accord with God's will, and we can have confidence that our sins are forgiven just as God promised they would be. Remember, my dear faithful, our Lord is always ready to forgive sins if we are truly sorry and if we make use of the great sacrament which he instituted for this purpose. No matter how many or how serious a person's sins might be, there is no sin too great for the power of the sacrament. And there is no greater means of growing in humility and confidence in God's goodness than a frequent and sincere reception of the sacrament. As St. John Chrysostom says, "Have you sinned? Then go to the church and wipe away your sin." As often as you fall down in the marketplace, he continues, you pick yourself up again. So too, as often as you sin, repent of your sin and ask pardon. Do not despair. My friends, we have a God who has mercy on our weakness and who desires that we save our souls even more than we do. Have confidence in him and in the power of his sacraments, and one day he will welcome you into heaven, there to be happy with him forever. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.